Today on Real Life Radio.
To this very day, scientists do not know what holds the universe together. An atom that is scientifically, it should fly apart. Every scientist knows this. The answer is Jesus. The Bible says Jesus holds it together. And a scientist ought to look at that and say, wow, you know what? I'm not a believer, but I'm almost a believer, because that is a scientific declaration in this ancient book.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message called Any Day Now, Part 3. It's been decades since Peter walked on the earth with Jesus, but his passion to impart vital yet practical wisdom to the church, it's really never faltered. His hard-hitting final warning to all believers may be his last will and testament, but for us, it couldn't come at a better time. You see, we all have a curiosity about the future, so it's completely normal for us as Christians to be sensing that some great event or movement could happen soon. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but the end is near. And we need to be ready. Today is a good day to know for sure that you are in the family of God. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus is long-suffering, and he's patient, and he's still reaching out his hand to the world with the gospel message. The Lord is not willing that any of us would spend forever without him. But the Bible makes it very clear that there will come a day when it will be too late to be saved. And now in his message called Any Day Now, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The word for fire means for the burning, obviously. It means fire as used in the sense to purify. When gold gets burned up, what happens to gold when you burn it? It gets better, it gets pure. This word fire means to cleanse. It means to melt, it means to pure, it means to remove all impurities. We've sang the song, Refiner's Fire. And the Bible tells us that until the day of judgment of and perdition of ungodly men. So God is moving, watch everybody, God is moving this world in the direction where it's eventually going to need a washing, but not with water. And so I need you to have undivided attention right now. So let me put you, let me get the oxygen in your mind, and you're supposed to tell a story before you do a punchline. Somebody said, so this is what you do. So I wrote this down for me personally. If I were an airline pilot and I were informing you about the fact that we're going to begin our descent into Charles de Gaulle, for example, International Airport in Paris, that announcement would be made. The captain would say what he says. And then there'd be at least two languages that would be translating what the captain says. It'd probably be in English and maybe German. Why? Because something's going to happen. We are going to descend, and y'all need to know. If you don't make the announcement, people are going to be thinking, this plane's going down. But the announcement comes. Are you with me? It's the announcement that takes the edge off. Okay? It's very important. Then I thought, if I was a train engineer, or maybe a conductor, to inform you that our next stop would be Santa Barbara, California. The next thing that you would do is you make sure that your ticket is marked Santa Barbara, California, because you can't go beyond that spot. But that's okay. You're not going to San Francisco. You're going to Santa Barbara, and you have a ticket. The announcement is made. There's a reason for this. So as a pastor, I would say this, in that genre of thinking, make sure you know the real Jesus Christ. Check your ticket, check your destination, know where you're supposed to land. Where are you going? And getting ready for any destination is a wise thing to do. Peter says this world is going to be burned up as we know it, but right now it's being held. We'll see how in a moment. We're being told, and this, I'm not joking, I know many of you are here and you're waiting for your church to open up. So you don't know how this church works. So when I say something that is just normal, you don't know it's normal, so you have a freak out. So I understand that. We love you. We love that you're here. But here comes, I'm warning you, it's going to be one of those freakouts. So Peter says the world is going to end. But listen, let's be careful. The world is going to end as we know it. Certainly beyond 7 years from even today, if the rapture took place, the tribulation period 7 years long. And at the end of the 7 year tribulation period, Jesus Christ comes back to Jerusalem and sets up his throne, the throne of David, his earthly father in Jerusalem. How long does Jesus rule in Jerusalem for? 1,000 years. That's called millennia. So there you go. Take a deep breath. Nothing's going to end for 1,007 years from right now. Okay? Now, that doesn't include your personal life. That has a shelf life limitation. You need to look and see, hey, what's my stamp? When do I expire? Look, that's between you and God. But you need to be ready. Amen. And this is what our young people, I know that's all of you, all of us are being really troubled by this. I want to show you a slide. I'll show you two of them. The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change, says AOC. 12 years. And you think, that's a joke. Not only is that not a joke, but other politicians have picked that up and they are making decisions for you based on her prophecy. Okay? Don't laugh. This is real. This is very serious, by the way. Very serious. And to back her up, it's hot outside. Right? It's called summer. Happens every year. But anyway, it's hot. So how long? 12 years? World's going to end in 12 years. Well, the Bible says no, but it's been revised. So what's the next one? It's not 12. It's not 12 years. It's now revised. It's 14 months. 14 months. It's over. If we don't do something. Let me tell you something. You could fall asleep and wake up 14 months from now, and it's not going to change anything. Okay? Because God's word is true and steadfast, and nothing's going to move. See, how can you be so sure? How can you be so sure? Because the Bible's very clear about this. Very clear. And so when it says in Scripture here that the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved, but they are also reserved, the meaning is this. It's an impressive scientific observation by Peter. And I'm going to read to you right now from Kenneth Wiest, a profound, legendary Greek scholar. A more accurate rendering of the original language implies that this physical universe is actually made up of fire. Listen. And that it is under control or being managed, but will someday be released or let go to become undone or to fly apart is the meaning of the original Greek word of fire and this world being preserved to fire. What's amazing and fascinating about this, that word let go. Listen, everybody, write this down. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, for by him, it's Christ, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, listen, and what? Invisible. Atheist today, agnostic today. Would you agree with me that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist? Of course you would. Of course. It's scientific. There's much more existing that's invisible to our human eye than that which is visible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him, that's Jesus, and for him. And he is before all things, and here it comes, and in him all things, and there's one word. What's the word? Consist. See that word consist? That word answers this fire question. The word consist means that Jesus himself solely possesses the power to hold it all together. To consist is to hold or to glue together, to keep the worlds together is an attribute of Christ. And for those of you who have had some science, you all know that to this very day, scientists do not know what holds the universe together. They do not know what holds an atom that is begging in all of its action in orbits, the neutrons and nucleus and all of the orbits, a little universe right there. And they don't know. Listen, friends, are you hearing me? They don't know what keeps them together. It should fly apart. Scientifically, it should fly apart. Every scientist knows this. The answer is Jesus. The Bible says Jesus holds it together. And a scientist ought to look at that and say, wow, you know what? I'm not a believer, but I'm almost a believer, because that is a scientific declaration in this ancient book. It's held together. You got to ask your friends. Go back to school. Freak them out. Go back to work tomorrow. Or go online, whatever you're doing tomorrow. And ask them, hey man, you know how things stick together? We learned this verse out of Colossians 1:17. Jesus holds it together. But how scientific is it? Reserved for fire? Listen, one scientist mentioned, he was part of the Manhattan Project. This is weird. But he said, in one glass of water, that water in that cup holds enough power in it to destroy the world. You say, what? It's a glass of water. But remember, the spinning of the atoms and all, the reason why to you it's just water is because it's being held together. If it were to be let loose, it turns into fire. He said, oh, you lost me. No, I didn't. You ever heard of the Manhattan Project? The Manhattan Project, Albert Einstein among them. Robert Oppenheimer, Sir Edward Teller, the Manhattan Project on July 16th. Let me read this. It says, as he witnessed the first detonation of a nuclear weapon on July 16th, 1945, Robert Oppenheimer, now famous, quote, has become a haunting echo. Oppenheimer softly said, now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. What happened? They were able to scientifically cause an atom to fly apart. They exercised a level of genius and they applied a scientific law against another scientific law. They used existing scientific laws to do that which had never been done before, and they split an atom and they undid what God has been holding together. Listen, according to the Bible, Jesus let them split it. And fire enveloped the atmosphere. In fact, there's a picture, right? Do we have a picture? This is what Oppenheimer and the team looked at. Wow. Did you know now today that's a joke? The size of this detonation is now silly. I do believe, I may be off, but not far. We have something like 34,000 military opportunities to do that and more. He witnessed it. By the way, everybody else turned their back on it, but the cameras and Oppenheimer turned right around and faced it with his thick glasses, and then out of his mouth it was said, I have become death. He understood the power of it all. If man can, and by the way, what Peter is talking about, I'm not talking about some future nuclear catastrophe. Oh, no. I'm talking about something that God does. Reserved. Teller and Oppenheimer, and I quote, the atomic elements of this world are held bound by a power. You know his name. The once believed theory that it may be possible to cause what holds the atoms together to be released, causing an atom to deconstruct. One atom deconstructing another atom would result in an atomic chain reaction, creating an unknown consequence. Think about that. When they'd set that baby off, could they have caught the world on fire? According to the Bible, someday the world is going to catch fire. Isaiah 66:15 says, for behold, the Lord will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh. Think of that. Psalm 50, verse 3. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be a very tempestuous all around him. Finally, Joel 2:30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. That is a reference to the second coming of Christ and the culmination of his reign as well. Look at verses 8 and 9. We see this because time will be running out. This is an amazing thing that we always take for granted. Just like the bee, unable to fly aerodynamically or scientifically. It's a little miracle flying around. What about time? What year is it, by the way? Anybody know? How do you know? It's not 2020 on the Jewish calendar. You ever look at a Jewish calendar? I forget now because I don't look at a Jewish calendar, but it's something like it's nearing the year 6,000 or maybe it's like 5,000. What is it? 5,800 something? Okay, it's 5,000 something. First of all, doesn't matter which calendar you pick. If you pick the Jewish calendar, to them, it's all based upon when God started things. In our Gregorian calendar, we look at our date today, and that's how the world conducts itself with legal documents. You sign 2020. 2020 since what?
Jesus.
Yeah, since the advent of Christ. Think of that. So I don't believe in God. Well, then you need to figure out a new way to sign your documents. Every time you sign your document, you're giving testimony that Christ existed. Think of that. It's true. Time's running out. That clock ticking. When you're little, it seems like it goes by. That thing never moves when you're little. And then as you get older, it's like a fan. It says in verse 9, but beloved, second time he uses this word beloved, but can I say it this way? Church, do not forget this one thing. So he's really laying it down. He's telling us, first of all, you better know this. Scoffers are going to come in the last days, and you learned about them last week. The second thing you better be careful about is don't forget this, that the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. You said, and friends, listen, that people have written books about this. Well, if a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day, then if creation was on June 9th, when Adam and Eve, so tomorrow's the end of the world. Don't do that. He's not telling you to count the days on a calendar and then do some math and make it 1,000 or a year per day. He's saying God is not bound by time. That's all he's saying. God is eternal. He's not under a calendar. You all know this. Have you ever prayed? Raise your hand if you've ever prayed. If you've ever prayed, you know God is not bound by a calendar. Why? Because he never does it in time for me. I wanted him to do it on Tuesday. God winds up saying, I'll do it Friday, or I did it Friday, or he'll say the words we cannot stand to hear. Wait. No, somebody said no. No's an answer. No's good. Wait. Oy. Wait. But you know what's cool about getting old? I'm old now. It's great to wait now. Now it's great to wait. Because you know when you wait, everything turns out better when you wait. You say, Pastor, don't say that. I'm young. I want to get married. Wait. No. Look, if she's the right one, then marry her. If he's the right one, then marry her, like now. You know, get your ministry going. But if they're not, you're not sure. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Learn your lessons well. And in his timing, he will tell you, right, what to do. But time is running out. Time's a scientific fact. It's all pointing toward the end. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways, my ways, says the Lord, for as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just to say, rest in him. Stop worrying, stop panicking. Trust Christ and let him govern your calendar and let him govern your clock. Should we be busy about our Father's business? Yes. Listen, should we refuse and reject temptations to be idle? Yes. The Bible says if a man does not work, nor shall he eat. We are to be active. And yet you can be as busy as that bee we were talking about earlier and be in peace and joy and be led by God, even though you're so very busy. But when you get busy without the peace, you're a wreck. You need stuff for your stomach. You need stuff for your head. You need stuff. It's like, I don't have any peace. Slow down. Slow down. He's there. He's there. He says in verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. This is a rebuke. Just because you got away with it doesn't mean you got away with it. Well, nobody caught me. No, you just, that's bad sentence structure. Nobody caught me yet. That's even bad, still bad, because ain't nobody gonna catch you yet. It's he is gonna catch you then. I got away with it. No, you didn't. Well, nothing happened. He's not slack concerning his truth. He'll keep it. And we end with this. Verse 9 concludes with us being set free by this powerful truth. It says, but he, that is the Lord, is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See the word long-suffering? That word means to preserve, to be patient with you, to stand waiting. Watch this. To stand waiting. Listen to what it doesn't mean. It does not mean to wait in absence. I like that. Listen up, everyone. God is not long-suffering or patient or waiting in absence, but to wait, to exercise long-suffering in your life, present, that he's present. I like that. If somebody says, wait here, and then they leave, you and I have a moment of breaking. How long can you wait? It's different for any one of us. So you'd be waiting, waiting. Man, it's been 5 minutes. When's it gonna come? Maybe you're waiting, it's been an hour. When's he gonna come? God says, I am waiting with you. I'm patient with you. Listen, non-believer, God is waiting. He's not absent. He's outside of your life. Yes, you won't let him in, but he's waiting. And he has seen everything in your life. He's watched everything. So what do you do something about it? You wouldn't let him. Well, why did this happen to me? Because you need to cry out to him. Yeah, but I was just a little baby. He will redeem it. Read the book. That's what he does. I didn't do anything to deserve that. He's the only one who knows that. And he'll make the wrong right. But you got to come to him.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Any Day Now, Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. Any Day Now, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, one thing we've learned through Peter's writings is how much God really loves us and how much he wants to have a close personal relationship with all of us who've made him the Lord of our lives. That's why it's so important to start the day with prayer and a verse from Scripture. It's also why Pastor Jack has devotions right there at his website that you can tap into. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and click on that tab labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a specific verse from the Bible and a personal story from Pastor Jack that relates to that verse. There's a new one each week, along with previous devotions for daily inspiration. Again, you'll find devotions on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or right there on our Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access anytime, anywhere. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.